All right. Hello, everybody. I'm just going to come up here for a couple minutes, do a little bit of encouragement. Oh, you guys must really need it. Do some encouragement. Yeah. There you go. No, but I was thinking today and yesterday about all the families we have in the church, young families, and the kids in those families, and how precious those families are. And I felt like God was calling me to encourage them. And then Pastor Bailey asked me to do a small intro, so I thought, what an awesome time. But we're gonna be in Proverbs 22:6. That's like the verse for this intro. But first, let's pray, and then we'll get started. Lord, thank you so much for this body and the families we have in it, and just the diversity, the dynamics. It's incredible to watch your creation, the church, and how we interact with each other, how we complement each other. And I just pray that tonight, people watching, people here, they'll find a place, or they'll listen and be encouraged, and that they'll see you clearer and draw closer to you clearer and find more purpose in you. Hear me pray, amen. All right. So yeah, if you guys, you can open to Proverbs 22:6, and maybe we'll just start with reading that, and then I'll kind of share what I'm thinking. So it's going to be Proverbs 22:6, and I think at some point we've all heard this, had it read to us or read. And it goes, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So that's like to the parents right there. And it's like such a powerful verse, and that where we can read that and understand that when you're a parent, your work isn't in vain. And before we jump to conclusions, I am not a parent. I will not be a parent. Jess and Jonah might be parents. We don't know. But yeah, dog parents. But I was, believe it or not, I was a child. And if you ask people who spend time with me, I probably still am a child. Absolutely still act like a child. So this isn't like speaking to parents as advice, because I would have no qualifications to do that, but that I can see you guys being parents, and it's amazing to see, and it's encouraging to me seeing the quality of kids you're raising. And I wanted to look at that and just to see like that, how precious is that family in the church? Like you have the Mishlas, Ashley's here right now, her kids, such cute kids, they're great kids. And we could go through the church and name other families, but it is so good to see families bringing their kids here. They're part of the church. They're ministering in the church, and their kids are being affected by it. And I can promise you they're being affected by it. And it's like parents, like you can be in the church and bring your kids to church like we're seeing them do it. Like they're the example we have. It's possible to do that. And your kids need it too. I need it. When I was a kid, I desperately needed it. Still need it. As adults, we still need it. And I heard this song. It's called Talking to Jesus. And it was so powerful to me. And I shared it with my parents. And I sent it over to my mom. She didn't respond to me. She ghosted me for a while. And I didn't understand why, but she said that she wanted to wait and listen in private, and she listened to it, and then she went to my dad, and they listened to it together. And she was talking to me, and she said that they were both just crying, listening to my song, this song, and it was powerful to see my parents move like that. I think my father is like Pastor Doug, but cries less. In the name of Jesus, focus me back. but I thought that it'd be awesome if I could read this and and you guys might be able to, it might be impactful to you as well. So the song starts, let's do it. Let's read the verse before it too. I was debating if that would be too long, but I think you guys have the attention span for it. So I say that because I probably wouldn't have the attention span for it. Grandma used to pray out loud by her bed every night. To me, it sounded like mumbling, like she was out of her mind. She said, "Boy, this kind of praying is what saved my life. You ought to try it sometime." And now I know she was right. She was talking to Jesus. She was talking to Jesus, and she had been talking to Jesus for all of her life. Mama used to drag me to church Sunday morning and Wednesday nights. Khaki pants and polo shirts, boy, I put up a fight. She said, "Son, one day you'll thank me for having God in your life." And yeah, I know she was right. Yeah, my mama was right. Because now I'm talking to Jesus. She got me talking to Jesus. She got me talking to Jesus. Yeah, my mama was right. And this, how many people is this the story of? I could say it was me. You should have seen the fights I had with my mom. I used to try and sneak into the back of the vehicle in slippers and pajamas just because I knew she wanted me to wear something nice to church. And the battles we put in. But now, because my mom was there, faithfully, she brought me to church and she instilled it, and I couldn't get away from it. You could try and do whatever, but I can't get away from it. God's there. God was pursuing me. And I have a blessing from God because of what my parents have done. And I think that's the encouragement I want for your parents, that your work isn't in vain. It can be frustrating, but they, like every single kid that comes to this church, like you're raising them, but also the church is here, and we're praying for your kids. Where I'm praying for your kids, we value them, and it doesn't matter what mischief they get into, how difficult they're being, what they wear to church, they're precious. And keep bringing them. That was the whole point of this. I love seeing it. I love seeing that it can be done. And then I also had two verses that if you wanted to, you could look at them maybe with your spouse, with your family. But Deuteronomy 6:6-9, we used to go, this woman would watch us for a little while in the morning, and she would make us memorize this. And unfortunately, I didn't fully memorize it, but it's in Deuteronomy 6:6-9. That was the fight I was putting up, right? It's probably staring out the window at nothing. But you can look at Deuteronomy 6:6-9 and Proverbs 29:17, and those are both verses on parenting that I thought would be, for myself, would be great to meditate on and think about, so I thought I'd share those with everybody else too. But yeah, that's what I had for you. So let's close in a prayer and then welcome Pastor Bailey. Lord, thank you so much. Again, God, what an amazing place to be. Amazing time to be here with everybody. There's no time like the time you've ordained together. It's all planned, the time we have here. It's all on purpose. Every Wednesday night, or Wednesday morning classes, or Sunday mornings, or meeting somebody from coffee, it's ordained time with you, Lord. And that's exciting to know that you've planned even those details. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. Good word, Bri. That message was for Gene Davis and Ray and Robert back there. Right? I said that whole message was for you, Gene. Keep bringing them. Keep bringing them. No. You know what's amazing? I love, actually, I wanted to do on Sunday, but like three generation of Davises in the back row. Isn't that amazing? What a blessing. It doesn't happen by accident, does it? It happens in this way. So, hallelujah. Hey, we had a great clothes drive for the Children of Grace, but The people at Savers called us and they said, listen, if you had had one single more bag, it would have gotten us like, boom. It would have like been like a turbo button. Like just one bag. So that's amazing. One more bag. It would have been amazing. I'm joking with Jess because I'm joking with Jess because when she one morning she was taking a bag out, I said, "No, Jess, you got to bring those in. Like you can't take those are for the orphans, not for you." No, I'm totally kidding, totally kidding. So I just wanted her to feel that a little bit. No, look that we raised exactly the amount of money we set as a goal. Isn't that great? And Jess got a bag of clothes. So like it was fantastic. That's like blessing by association, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, oh they're now we know it's for the baby that's coming. That's amazing. Oh, we're okay. Reel it in. I'm joking. But we did have a great drive. And actually, I don't know if you heard, but somebody else loved the vision of it, and they gave $5,000 above and beyond what we raised. So really, that's like, I don't know. That should support the orphans for a year, really. That's amazing. So what a blessing to be able to give. We haven't been doing our cafe as much because there's something going on out there. And then also Pastor Daigle in the prison ministry hasn't been able to have that kind of offering to the Children of Grace. So this made up for that. Actually, it made up for 2 years of what Walpole Prison typically gave. So what God provides, doesn't he? So thank God for that. couple of things. We're going to have Pastor Schaller is going to be coming up on April 2nd. So I encourage everyone to make that time. More details will be coming as soon as I get them. We will carry them on to you. I know April 2nd is coming soon, but he'll be up here at least for that Saturday. We'll have something in the morning, something in the evening, and then something in the afternoon. If that's good definition right there. But come out. The purpose of it is, of course, that Pastor Shallow would come and be with us, but also we're inviting all the Northeast churches to come and be with us and just have a time where we are with each other. So I spent the day today on the phone with four or five pastors in Maine, and it was so much fun hearing what's going on in Maine. And you know, like what's happening here, that God is adding people and we feel like we are in the wave of what God is doing, they are experiencing the same thing. Pastor Scott Jagir in Green, Maine, I talked to him and he said, yeah, God's doing something. You know, tough times, but also God is doing something. And then Pastor Glenn Ernest and Turner, he's excited. The teens are going to be up there in a couple weeks. They're going to go spend the weekend with him. And I said, hey, you want to come? He's like, I'll be there. Let me know. I'm putting it in my phone right now. I said, man, that's brilliant. Responsibility with the calendar. But also, Turner, Maine in July, for one whole week in July, they're going to be doing like old school tent revival meetings. And they have a nice property, right? They have a big parking lot or something. You've been there? Yeah. So they're going to set up a big tent and they're going to have food and a gospel singer and preachers every single night. So I said, man, I'm coming. He said, yeah, you can come preach. I said, I don't care what I do. I'll serve chili. I just want to be with you. And I want to be a part of what the church is doing in Turner, Maine. So maybe we pray that could be like our summer harvest trip, that we would go and pump up the church in Turner, Maine, be with them for a couple days. Yeah, take it easy on the chili, because we got to get back in the car and drive home afterwards. But wouldn't that be fun? Like old school, hit the sawdust trail under the tent in Maine. I mean, hopefully it's not snowing in July, but we'll have a good time. So pray for that. Pray for Turner, Maine in July. And again, I think it's the last week in July, but we'll get the dates. And And there's, I don't know, it's exciting times. Missions is on our hearts, and New England is on our heart. And what part are we in it? It's got to be significant. I mean, look at the cast of characters he's given us to be with, right? There's no way this group of people can be in the same room multiple times a week and not have something happen, right? It's powerful, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, it's amazing. So let's keep praying, keep praying. God is working. God is doing something in our hearts, in our country, in our world. He's doing something. Things are shaking, aren't they? God is working. So are we hearing him, and are we willing to be moved by him? You know, we pray that, don't we? We pray that, and then he does it, and we say, whoa, 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 whoa. Easy, Lord. He said, hey, no, you prayed that I would use you. And we said, yeah, but I had something else in mind. But we're ready. We're ready, Lord, whatever you have for us. And then prayer request for Josh Lewis, Pastor Jim Lewis's son in Peabody. But he had a big surgery on Tuesday. They took out a big cancer out of his arm. And then now they're praying the guidance from the doctors of how to move forward in treatment. So pray that God would just treat it himself, right? And that God would heal. And then there's other people in the body that also are fighting cancer, are fighting heart disease, are fighting pain. Like, let's pray that God would really this week clear things up. I talked to someone earlier. They said, I have 1 month, and then I have to go see the doctor again, and they'll give me, and we'll make a plan. I said, okay, 1 month, Lord. Yes. 1 month. You're on the clock, Lord, right? But couldn't it be that she goes back in a month, and then the doctor says, no comprende. I don't know what, I don't get it. I don't understand. But there's nothing there. So God can do that. And then what is in our lives? Well, like Brian talking about raising our kids. That was a great encouragement. It was a great encouragement. And what hurdles are there in that? And then in whatever there is in our life, what is it? What is it? We believe in God. Let's go. Let's pursue it. Let's pray. Like Spurgeon says, bring your prayers like a sacred battering ram. Sounds good too. Like a sacred battering ram against the gates of heaven. And just keep bringing your prayers to God, believing. Don't stop. Don't stop in your prayer. Have you ever felt like you're praying and there's like a weakness in you? Sometimes I think that God is saying, come on, come on. Like we are confronted with weakness in us, in our prayer, or in our faith. And we stop. It's like, And I could just settle back and be like, all right, that was my prayer. Or we say, like, through it, boom, like, take another step of faith. Whatever it is, like distraction, like, no, I'm serious. I'm talking to God right now. And God, I'm serious. I'm talking about my kids. I'm talking about my health. I'm talking about my family. I'm talking about my home. I'm talking about my job, my business. I'm talking about my mission. I'm talking about a calling. Lord, I'm not giving up. And fight through it in prayer. It happens. We can really get there. Like Jacob, right? Jacob, didn't he wrestle with God? And God said, hey, take it easy. And he's like, no, bless me. You will bless me. You read that and you're like, hey, are we allowed to do that? Can I be that direct? And what does God say? You're no longer Jacob, but Israel. Power with God and power with man, right? Isn't that it? Yeah, I want it. I want to wrestle with God. That's what our faith is. Our faith is a wrestling match. And we wrestle with God over things. But don't be weak in faith. Right? Doesn't Jesus say that? Where's your faith? Come on. And we say, but the waves. Look at the waves. There's a lot of water in the boat, Lord. It's supposed to be outside the boat. And he's like, but what are you looking at? I'm in the boat with you. Doesn't that count for something? And we go through by prayer. We punch through and get through that little difficulty or that distraction or that boredom in prayer and just go. Find a country, stare at a map and pray. If you don't know who's there, just pray for the country. And just and then go. So, I don't know, just an encouragement. So, open with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Maybe. Isn't it amazing to be, like, in the time that we're in, the world that we're living in, who are we in the time that we're living in? We are God's chosen people. We are called. We are called with what kind of a calling? A high and holy calling. Not a common call, but we have a high and a holy call. And you could say, yeah, but I do common things, right? I'm on my computer. I do my work. Jewel D's interpreting or translating. Which one do you do? Both. Either one. Whatever you want. Suddenly, drilling teeth, right? To cleaning teeth, whatever it is, in labs and studying and taking care of people, working, painting, like whatever. We're doing it. It's common, isn't it? We do it because it's what God has given us to do. It's our work. It's connected to common stuff, and we do it. But that is not everything. Right? Pastor Stevens used to say it all the time. Your vocation, or your occupation, right? You have an occupation, and whatever that might be, dentist, carpenter, real estate agent, right? Whatever, that's an occupation. But you also have a vocation. You have a calling from God. Wait, is it the other way around? No, that's right. Yeah, you have a vocation. You have a call. And you have a high and a holy calling. It's not common. And it comes into every part of our lives. And it's a blessing to be doing that in this time. Because the times aren't changing. Well, they are. Negatively. The world we live in. It's chaos. It's chaos. Where? Everywhere. It's so crazy that Switzerland actually is getting their army ready. That's how crazy the world is. The most neutral place on the planet is getting ready. Yeah, they armed up and they came into they made a commitment to NATO. Yeah, Switzerland and Sweden. Can't help but think of the Swedish chef on a battlefield, but that's my problem. Sorry to interrupt this time with that thought, but. Yeah, no, but it's crazy. But what has always prevailed, there have always been crazy times, but what has always prevailed? The gospel and God's ministers. The people who know they have a high and a holy calling have always gone above and beyond and been able to work in it, in the chaos, and minister, and there's a revival happening. Like we see our pastors in Ukraine, Pastor Misha in Lviv, he is welcoming people, refugees, and he's giving them Bibles, and people are turning to God. So here we are. Here we are. We have a calling. And I want my calling to be expressed beyond Sunday morning, and here you are Wednesday night, beyond Wednesday nights, right, and into my life. And how could it be? We could say, well, it's hard to talk at work, especially for Ashley. It's difficult to get a word in the office about the gospel. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. She works here and for Pastor Doug, so I'm kidding. But no, okay, so it's hard. And it is, right? Like, is the atmosphere against you at work somewhere? Has anybody felt that? Yeah. Like, you can't bring that up. You can't bring that up. And Noah said it to me. It's about school. He says, we're not allowed to talk about Jesus stuff or devil stuff, but, you know, you just got to keep it. I'm like, okay. Yeah. Just listening to his. But isn't that the way it is at work, right? In businesses and in our profession, do you feel the need to be so careful not to offend somebody? Gene's like, no, bring it on. No. I love it. I love it. But the pressure's there. But you know what happens when we bring light in? Like we feel we have power. And, you know, we don't have to force it, but also we are not afraid. We know that we have a call. This is not an option. It's a calling. When Paul writes to Timothy, he writes to him about being enlisted. Doesn't he? You are enlisted. And though in the verse, I can't think of it right now, but he says, those who are enlisted are not mindful of other things. We go about our business. We're respectful. We honor what is there, but also we look for the opportunity. And we're ready because these are the end times, right? And there's a difficult time. And there's a lot of darkness and a lot of deception and like this mass ability to bring people into one thought, which is scary. But the Bible is never backed down from any challenge. And the Bible is the thing that's able to penetrate and to bring clarity to where there is confusion. So here, to encourage us in this, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Okay, verse 1. It's because. Simon Peter, a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. There you go. There you go. What was his vocation? Bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. What was his occupation? Fisherman, right? Yeah, bingo. Fisherman. Okay, but what's important right now? His vocation, his call, what God has given him to do. To those who have obtained like precious faith, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay. That's the significance of what we have. That a like precious faith, and amazing to think that when this is written, a millennia ago, more than that, right? 2 millennia ago, but here to us, we have obtained a like precious faith and also a call that is as effective and as consuming. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. And his divine power, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. His divine power has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's called you, and he's given you all things that pertain to that call. Right? Jonah, Jess and Jonah teaching Sunday school. God has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. Right? Gene making coffee for us and welcoming us all every Sunday morning. All things according that you need, all things that pertain to life and godliness. The teams on evangelism, we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. The covert person who's working here, working there, but also praying and taking the opportunity to minister. You have all things that pertain to life and godliness, meaning you have the wisdom. You have the boldness, you have the message, you have the ability to connect people to God. Isn't that incredible? You have it. You have all things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Okay? So, this is the verse that we wanted to focus on. And really, this sentence, that we are partakers of the divine nature. That we have the freedom and the authority to partake of the divine nature. Doesn't that sound like serious? Partakers of the divine nature. I'm familiar with being like partaking with the natural man. I understand that. But what does it mean to be a partaker of the divine nature? Well, it's like we were saying, we are called. And we are called not just to ride the coattails of Christ, or not called just to ride it out until we get to heaven. How boring of a faith is that to just say, well, it's someday I'm going to go to heaven, but until then I'm going to enjoy Jeopardy or whatever. It's like it's so minimal. But there is an adventure and there is an excitement and there is a vocation in this faith that he has given us a lot of work to do in a good way. We're designed for work. Adam and Eve in the garden were working. That gives you a good context of what we are created for. Paganism, Greek mythology, these things, the idea of a god or the idea of divinity is like not doing anything and actually getting other people or other things to do what you're supposed to do. But God has given us a vocation. That's why we're still here. If it was simply about being saved, we would be caught up, as Veronica Moses says. Caught up. We would be caught up as soon as we were saved. But instead, we're left here. And we're given this. We're given this freedom and this authority to partake of the divine nature. And in that, we are more than just what we think we are. Like thinking, we have lots of excuses that we're shy, we're insecure, or we are, you know, I put my foot in my mouth, I say the wrong thing, or I don't care naturally, I don't care about people, or whatever it might be. But when we partake of the divine nature, we discover something different. That we are free from ourselves, and we are not approaching things our way, but instead we're in fellowship with God, and we come with a whole different view of things. And in partaking of the divine nature, we have escaped the corruption that is in the world. Okay, so there's two things that happen in this passage from verse 2 through 4, that there is our salvation. Right? There is our salvation, and that salvation has given us an escape from hell, right? An escape from judgment, an escape from wrath. But then there is this partaking of the divine nature that gives us an escape from the lusts of the world, right? The corruption that is in the world through lust. What is the point? What is the conclusion of corruption? Destruction, right? Death, destruction. Like there is an objective in corruption. And the devil is that roaring lion who is seeking whom he may devour. That he is a destroyer. And there is destruction in the world, and the destruction is aimed at me, and it is targeting these lusts. And we have ideas of what lust is, right? And a lot of times it is sensual, but it could be anything. And it could be anything that occupies my thinking, anything that distracts me from who Christ is, or anything, let's say it this way, anything that draws me away from fellowship with God, or draws me into natural thinking, that is lust. It could be anything. Food. Right? It could be food. There was a guy who preached a message in Baltimore one time about eating chocolate cake and how it was like this unbelievable sin. And we were all laughing about it, but then it's like in the end, it's like, yeah, he wasn't supposed to eat the cake. What's the difference? Like to him, that was sin. Right? To me, I'll have a whole cake tonight. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I won't. No, but what's the difference? That's not the point. Like there are so many things that distract us and draw our hearts away. Like the idea of lust is that it entangles itself around my heart. And you think of that entangling and that choking and that restricting of needed life. Right? And what is the result? The result is that I am corrupted and that I could be destroyed in my experience with God. But instead I have these promises. These exceeding great and precious promises, and by them I escape the world. And by these promises, not only do I escape the corruption of this world, but I escape the idea of being bored. I escape the idea of not having a purpose. I escape the idea of not being effective. And I am liberated into this calling and sent out into a world with a great message. And a great boldness and a great confidence, right? What did Paul say in Romans 1:16? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it's the power of God unto salvation. This is the thing that God has given us, and we have the freedom to do it. And we don't do it on our own. But we do it partaking of the divine nature. Christ came here with great boldness and great love and great compassion. In each situation, he approached differently, didn't he? We love to talk about that, how he healed the blind man a few different times. Each one was different. I don't want to approach each situation the same way. I want to hear from God. Isn't that great? We said it on a Sunday night, I think, that there's three different ways that Jesus healed a blind person. You know why he did it three different times? In different ways? So that we wouldn't try to copy him. Imagine if it was just one way he did it three times. He always spit on people's eyes. We'd be walking around spitting on blind people all the time. He said, I gotta avoid that problem. I'm going to diversify my abilities here, right? So he mixes it up. But also, he shows us in that there is divine creativity. That God leads in each situation. God is interested in each situation. He's not plugging in a formula, right? Like, software update, you're good to go. All right. Like, that Sunday morning, it's just a software update. Or, like, debugging or something. No, it is God working on our heart. Partaking in the divine nature is God. God is invested in our lives. And when we experience his creativity in our life, then we are free to be creative in other people's lives too. Like what I love about Brian mentioned about all the families in the church. You know what's incredible? Everyone has a different parenting style, right? And even if you have kids, you know that each kid is very different. And the way you speak to them is very different. Like if I speak to Riley the way I speak to Noah, it's going to crush her. If I speak to Noah the way I speak to Riley, he won't take me serious. It's incredible, right? I told him I'd stop using him as illustrations, but this one's good. One time I had to yell at Noah, surprisingly. And I said, Noah, like, how about you listen to me the first time? That way I don't have to yell. And you can just do it. It'd be great. And he goes, yeah, but if you're not yelling, I don't know you're serious. I was like, oh my God. I was like, well, just assume if I'm telling you to do something, I'm serious. Can we just start there, right? So, like, there's such difference. But Riley, like, all I need to do, I just look at her, and she's like, okay. I get it, yeah. Okay, right? It's so different. God is that way with us. He is, isn't he? Like, the way that he needs to beat things into my head is very different than maybe someone else that's a little more sensitive to things, right? Like God is so personal that he delivers his word to us the way we need to hear it. Have you ever sat in a message with somebody and you walk out and you said, isn't it amazing he said that? And the person said, I didn't even hear that, but I heard this. And you say, oh, I didn't hear that. God is speaking to you. God is dealing with things and he can reach each one in the congregation. It's amazing. It's incredible. And we are, in that, we are partaking of the divine nature. And then when we do that, we then go out with a different idea. Like, how can I go into a sinful world and not just be disgusted by people? Because God has come into my life and not just been disgusted and walked away. But instead, he worked with me, right? And he's working on us continually. And he made us, like, he has... refining us, and he is creating us in his image. That is partaking of the divine nature. And now we go out, and yes, there are so many disagreeable things. There's so many disagreeable things. And I hate a lot of them. I hate the devil and that he has introduced these ideas and these philosophies and how effective he is at spreading them. I hate it. But oh my gosh, people are broken. Oh my gosh, people need something other than someone just yelling at them again. They need someone who has been partaking in the divine nature to come to them with the creativity that God gives and the wisdom that God gives so we can interject something different, some light in their life. Right? It's hard. I'm telling you, it is hard. It's not a business model. We say that all the time. Evangelism is a terrible business model. The return on that investment is nothing. But that's not what we're doing. It's a whole different economy. And we are maybe planting that some, what someone else will water, what someone else will reap. We are maybe watering what someone else has planted and someone else will reap. Or we are reaping what somebody else has watered, what somebody has planted. But also, let's be thinking that we can be doing all three, right? Don't say, well, I'm here to reap what someone else has planted. No, be sowing, watering, and reaping. And be ready for each step. And be thinking that God has given you an opportunity in that. And how do we could say, I'm overwhelmed by it. Yeah, me too. But when I am a partaker of the divine nature, I understand that it's His work and His alone. Like Hudson Taylor said, Lord, the work is yours and yours alone. Mine is to rest in Thee. He said something else in there. It made it sound better. But mine, the work is yours and yours alone. My part is to rest in Thee, or something like that. And this guy is leading missions into inland China, running hospitals, managing teams. He was so overwhelmed by the work and so overwhelmed by trying to finance all of these missions. He was so anxious. And then God said, I died on the cross. And that revelation right there, he was like, okay, you did that. Now you'll do this, and I'm going to rest in you. And from that point on, his ministry changed. And that's the book, Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret. And it changed his ministry and his effectiveness. So we're resting in him, partaking in the divine nature, but then we go out there, and when he says, hey, like Paul, like Peter just said, I'm a bondservant. When he says, hey, can you do this? And we say, no, I'm shy. Right? Trust me, I am too. I don't like to be in front of people. I don't like to talk to people I don't know. But God gives us a call. And we say, okay, Lord, okay, I'll go. And then we start. And then God does something. And then sometimes we're embarrassed. Have you ever been embarrassed on evangelism? Yeah, me, all the time. Most of the times I open my mouth, I'm embarrassed. No, but like we're embarrassed. We don't know, or we feel like we don't represent God, or we'll get down on ourselves some way, but don't let that distract you. That's not God. That's a distraction. That's a discouragement. That's the devil coming in to bump you off the rails. But stay on it. Say, Lord, that was terrible. And he would say, no, you were obedient. It was beautiful. It was beautiful because you went by faith. And it's okay. It's okay. Failure is okay. It helps us. It provokes us. It like spurs us on to look deeper, study harder, whatever it is. And think about it. Meditate on it. How would I say? What would I say? How would I open a conversation? Be ready. But it all comes from this. Exceeding great, precious promises, they're given to us. By those promises, we partake in the divine nature. By that partaking, I am changed. And by that change, I have a different view in the world. So let's be moved by it. Huh? What do we say? You say, when you wake up in the morning, say, today, I am a partaker of the divine nature. The devil's going to say, no, you're not. You're a partaker of Facebook. You're a partaker of YouTube, right? You're a partaker of this. You're a partaker of news. You're a partaker of politics. You're a politician. You're a partaker of blah, blah, blah. And he will give you all kinds of stuff. And there are so many distractions, but you say, no. I am a partaker of the divine nature. And like it's a statement of faith. It's a promise. It's a statement of faith. And when you remind yourself of it and persuade yourself of it, you'll find it's true. It'll be revealed to you. So keep going by faith. Right? Check Facebook. And then go back to being a partaker of the divine nature. Right? Read the newspaper. Read the newspaper. How about that? How does Pastor Belli say? He said, get off of Facebook and get your face in the book. Yeah. Right, there you go. It's like a vintage Shibelliism. So that's what we are. We are partakers of the divine nature. Don't let anyone or anything persuade you otherwise. And when there is a reminder of sin, you say, oh, the divine nature is taking care of that also. I am forgiven. I agreed with it. I confess. I move on, and I'm in fellowship with God, partaking of the divine nature again. Sin cannot keep you out of fellowship with God. Right? It can, but also it can't. It can if you let it, but you don't. It doesn't have to. Christ has given you the authority to say, no, it's not going to. Or it has, but it will not anymore. And move on by faith. Amen? All right, Lord, thank you for these promises. Thank you for this truth that we are partaking in the divine nature. Lord, we're partaking of Christ. We're partaking of in the call. Also, Lord, we have a high and a holy calling. Lord, help us in it. Lead us in it. In your name, amen.